Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. We are wheelerless all week.
Whoa.
Which is
quiet.
Quiet.
Yeah.
It is a challenge.
It really is.
It really is.
During the break, you almost feel like somebody should say something.
I know.
Right?
It's like being on a car ride with someone and it's awkwardly silent because you're used to having your kids in the back seat just yelling. Now you got to talk to your wife. You're like, I don't know what to say to you.
I think it feels like more. I shouldn't say I think it feels. I'm guessing that it's like if you have like a mild case of anxiety or whatever, and then so your doctor says, I'm going to prescribe you a low dose of anti-anxiety medicine. And then you take it. And then after a week, you're like, you know what? I think it is calmer. That's how I feel with Kevin gone.
Wow.
Jeez.
I had no idea how that was going to end up.
Doesn't it feel like, you know what? I think it is. I did notice.
Wheeler's a medical condition.
I'll tell you this, though.
So I've recently gotten back into baseball, and I now know what an innings eater is, like a guy who just eats innings for you. That's Kevin.
That's my man.
Bro, he's prolific.
Like, if it's a four-hour show, which, if you guys listen to 20, 30 minutes at a time, doesn't seem like a big deal, but I'm telling you, it's a big deal. 4 hours of our kind of show, which this is going to get a little back patty, but when you don't just do one thing, if you just do sports, if you just do politics, if you just talk about how stupid liberals or Trump or whatever, I've done those shows. They're pretty easy. When you do a four-hour show with about 20 or 30 different topics, that's not so easy. Mm-hmm. But and there are days like today, we're pretty stacked. I got a lot of stuff out of my own head. Andrew booked a good show. We'll be okay. Some days we're not. Some days I don't have a lot and we don't book a great show. And on those days I go, Kevin, Cardinals. And he just starts going.
Yeah.
Just starts going.
I will say this. I give a lot of credit to him because when he was at the sports station doing the solo show, it was 3 hours by himself. So I don't know if you know this, but in this city 5 years ago, there were two teams. And only one team does anybody really care to talk about. So it is basically, of the 3 hours, you're probably spending 2.5 on the Cardinals.
So I'm a little...
So to be able to do that by yourself for 3 hours every single day, even in the off season, it's
impressive.
That's a lot.
So I've known about Kevin Wheeler since he's been in town. He just, you know, Kevin Wheeler. Oh, yeah, Kevin Wheeler Sports. I had no idea he was a leprechaun. But I mean, I knew the name. I knew the big voice. What I didn't know is how he argues. And now that we've seen it firsthand, where with his best friends in the world, he's like, oh, so what you're trying to say is I'm a Nazi. Is he like that? Like, was he like that over at 101?
Well,
there were.
Or Sports Open Line
maybe
here?
Maybe if there was a caller or something or a text message because they didn't take calls.
It's the same cadence, it's the same passion. And what you attributed to monologuing is also his dialoguing. Yeah. It's the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's always just a very aggressive monologue. And it's not like, oh, this guy has no one else to talk to. This is how he talks to people as
well. Yeah, you're right. He's just talking to an imaginary person. I can't do it. I can't do it.
He will, you can tell it's something that he picked up while he was doing a show by himself, but he'll do a lot of rhetorical questions.
Yes.
But he'll do them in during the segment with us. So he'll be like, don't you think, isn't that right? And then there will be a pause, and then you guys will start to go like, and then he'll blow past it and move on.
What else do you want them to do? And everyone pauses, what else? And then you start to answer, and he just keeps going.
And he clearly just picked that up during the time.
He's a machine.
It's amazing.
He's a machine.
He clearly picked it up just monologuing, but it's so funny when he does it like around us, because we're like, tweet.
I have a couple non-baseball questions for you guys. So I was watching the game over the weekend, and in the second row of the green seats, because I always look, you know, do I know someone sitting in the green seats, that kind of stuff. And there is a guy who kept very sheepishly showing a sign that said, fire Ollie, hire Yachty. And it was like he was going to get caught at doing something, which led me to wonder, are there rules? Do you guys have any idea?
So there's no rule, but a team might send somebody down there and be like, hey, I'm going to take that sign.
Okay.
And they can confiscate it if they want to.
the owners have green seats. So you could be sitting next to DeWitt, and Wheeler might say, I don't care if you're still a fan. But I do think, like you said, unwritten.
Yeah. I mean, did it get taken away? Do you know?
I don't know. He was kind of a weird dude. He kept doing weird stuff.
Okay.
And then he would disappear for a couple innings. Obviously, I was obsessed with him. And then he would show up again, and he would just kind of show the sign for like 2 seconds and put it back down, you know, between his legs. And it was odd. Did you see the other one where someone said, happy birthday, like Brenda, sorry, we didn't fire Oliver Marmol or something like that.
And
this went up on the screen.
On the screen. Yeah, yes.
Someone put in a birthday request, comma, fire Marmol, and that made like national news.
I don't know how that got through.
What?
Yeah,
I don't understand the process of that.
Obviously, just didn't edit it carefully.
Wow. Well,
yeah, it was up on not the main video board, I don't think,
like
but it was on one of the
birthday board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. You know, what do you hate more though? A guy holding a sign in the green seats that says, you know, fire Ollie, or that guy always in like a Vineyards Vine collared shirt on the cell phone pointing
that
and
guy.
Waving.
Waving. Yeah.
That guy could have a sign saying fire Dave and I wouldn't care as much. And I judge these people so hard.
I know.
There were these people sitting in the front row on one of the games this weekend, and there were four guys and two ladies, and all four guys were wearing what looked like the same purple striped pop collar shirt.
Really?
And I was just obsessed. I wasn't even like watching the game. I'm just like, what? How did this happen? Did you call each other? Are you mortified now that you're here at the game?
Pre-planned.
Yeah.
That's like, pre-planned.
What's going on?
It seems to me that what you're talking about, Amy, unless I just haven't noticed it, doesn't happen as much. Where people get on the phone and be like, hey, look at me. I'm on TV. I don't feel like that happens as often as it used to. Maybe the novelty's gone or I don't know what.
I don't know. And I am so unobservant that it could be happening at 10 times the rate as it did previously, and I wouldn't know. I don't know why I haven't looked for it, but I do feel like, man, I noticed that a lot for a while. The on-the-phone, waiting, middle-aged guy.
I just don't think it happens as much.
Maybe
it's because of...
It's dorky?
Well, yes. Well,
I don't think I would
texting,
do. Like,
right?
If I were sitting there, I've sat in the green seats one time, and it was amazing. But I've never sat, like, first, second row where you're on TV. If I was, and someone texted me and said, hey, I saw you, wave at me, I think I'm saying no. Like, no matter who it is.
You could flip off the camera. if they ask you to move.
I just can't be that guy.
If you were in a, let's say, a slim-fitting hot dog suit, because you can't be in a big hot dog suit, but a slim-fitting hot dog suit, could you
sit
there?
One of those flattering hot dog suits. Yeah.
One that's not going to block the view of people around you. One that can, the security's cool.
Where is this coming from?
What?
I'm not understanding the segue there.
Could you dress as a hot dog and sit in the green seats right behind home plate?
I think I'd want that for me.
Well.
Is this a thought that occupies your mind?
Where did that come from?
I like that she appealed to your vanity. Now, it would be a very slim fat hot dog suit.
Not a fat hot dog suit.
You would look very sexy in this hot dog suit.
To be honest, it was because Ranj was supposed to show up at KMOX Day at the ballpark dressed as a horse.
Well, Steve put an end to that.
Yeah, but
it was I lost a game, and my punishment was I was going to wear the horse costume to KMOX Day, and he said no.
But then the Cardinals, we had someone in from the Cardinals that day. And they said, yes, you can't wear a costume like that for safety reasons. However, because we are, you know, we know you, blah, blah, we could bring you in maybe. It was Ben Boyd, so it probably doesn't count. Mm. But anyway, they were going to get Ranji in as a horse. Steve said no. But then I thought, I wonder if Ranj could be dressed as a horse and sit in the green seat.
Was this just like a horse head?
Oh. It was around the Kentucky Derby. We did a horse name game, and I lost it pretty badly. So that was my punishment.
No, but it was a whole horse outfit. But then the head is above his head, so his face is in the neck.
Mm-hmm. You could see my face.
You guys...
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Like, we're the crazy ones.
Yeah.
You're doing it right or you're doing it wrong. I just don't know which way it is. But the hot dog costume makes more sense now.
Yeah, I guess. Did they offer you a hot dog? Like,
I still don't know where that came from.
But you can wear a hot dog?
There's certain costumes that come to mind. Like, Ranj was the horse costume. There's always the hot dog costume. I don't know, at a ballpark, right? You're thinking of hot dogs.
I've never seen a hot dog costume at a ballpark.
There are people who run in costume. And my friend lost one time to a front-facing quesadilla, which means, like, you know...
Are you talking about, like, the hot dog race on the field?
Yeah.
In Milwaukee?
Oh, yeah.
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 But, like, you could also be a front-facing quesadilla.
I love how Washington.
That sounds so dirty. I don't know why that.
Yeah, stop saying front facing. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like front facing.
If you're a quesadilla this way, long ways, and you run, there's no wind. But when you are tortilla side out.
Don't say that either.
Yeah, no.
I don't like.
I'm not having a fan of terrible visions.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of tortilla side out either. You can, you can get arrested for being tortilla
resistance on the tortilla.
Yeah, it seems like
it's a flat tortilla, Dave.
So the new uniform, that's a real thing. I saw that on TikTok and I thought, this is made up. One, because it was cool. Like, I actually like the uniform.
Yeah, God forbid, right?
And I almost never like special things like that. I always think they look stupid. This one looked pretty cool.
I think these guys hate it, though.
Oh, you don't like it?
No, I liked them.
I don't hate it. I knew they weren't going to, but I was kind of hoping they would do something a little more unusual than what they're used to doing.
I know it sounds sacrilegious, but without the birds on bat. The birds on bat is so iconic. It's amazing. So when you first see it, the first thing your brain recognizes is something that you see every single day, the birds on bat, which is iconic and beautiful. I think in order to be very different, you take off the birds on bat. Now, since they left it on there, once you start really paying attention to the details,
yeah,
like
they're
the
cool details
they're really,
in it. I like.
Really cool.
Yeah,
they're very cool. It's just like, would they have done something without the birds on bat, which would be the most noticeable difference?
My feeling about the City Connects is, and a lot of people rail on the ones, from other cities because they look way too different. My feeling is this is the, because baseball is so resistant to change, this is the opportunity
to get weird.
A handful of times a year. Mm-hmm. To get weird.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that Boston's, and I know a lot of people don't like the Red Sox uniforms, but they're an electric blue and yellow because it's the Boston Marathon colors. And that's what the Boston Marathon finish line looks like. I think that is very cool because it's specific to that city and it is so different than their regular uniforms.
And how often will they be wearing this?
12 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like,
and first time they'll sell them. You can buy them. Right?
First time is Saturday.
And I can see how we said there's like an element of the sacred with the birds on bat, which I get. But then we looked back, like 1956, it just said Cardinals, or in previous year St. Louis. That could be very cool.
Yeah. 123 DGS and Camo X. I was with my mom over the weekend at her nursing home. You know, she's struggling with, you know, mental faculties and such, and kind of in and out of things. And I had it on, I think, Fox Sports Midwest, so that when, or Bally, whenever the game would come on a few hours later, and they were showing celebrity golf, and it was like former NFL players, but they were about as good at golf as I am, which is not, and they're just shanking the ball everywhere, but it was full professional coverage as if it were the pros. And, you know, my mom thinks she's spending the night at her mom and dad's house, like when she was little, and then she just goes, "What is this?" She goes, "These golfers are terrible." And I'm so used to like dealing with her own little world and like, "Mom, I know you think this and that." And suddenly I have to explain that, no, on a major network, they're just showing terrible golfers, which is weird.
I like that she's been going through a lot, but could still recognize this
could,
is bad
she
golf.
She could pick out that this shouldn't be on TV.
Yeah.
that's incredible.
What the hell is this?
It was very strange.
Shanked that one, didn't it, me.
But then, I was there for an hour or so, I became sort of semi-obsessed. I'm like, oh, Charles Woodson, he can't putt at all. You know, just like watching these guys, and what a strange thing that was.
That is weird.
You know, it's very sweet, though. They look like high school girls. They have like little Catholic girl school uniforms who go there, and they play games with the people. And they visit them, and I was there this morning, and a couple of girls walked in to bring like a newsletter, and they're like, "Hi, Helen," because that's my mom's Francis, but that's her middle name. It says Helen Glover. What a wonderful thing to do. Yeah. Phoebe did that through her school, where she would do, or at least faked it. And
she said that's where she
was. What a great thing to do. But an uncomfortable thing to do, because being around old people, very old people who are kind of compromised, is not the easiest thing in the world, especially if you're 16, 17 years old. But what a nice thing.
Some people really thrive with that stuff, though. My wife is like that. She really thrives with, like, older people. She does a really great job with them. Is that different from, what is a candy striper?
I was just going to ask that question. What is that?
That was a nurse.
And is it still a thing?
I think.
Or is that a nurse?
That like used to be the volunteers.
Yes, okay. It's not professional. It's like a volunteer kind of situation.
Okay. You learn a like a more minimal skill set for nursing, and then you're a candy striper? Because, I mean, my grandma was one.
Again, I don't even know if it's a thing still.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think it is. Probably for liability
reasons. I was going to say, yeah, if you're doing any kind of nursing type stuff, you'd need all sorts of...
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking, apropos of very little? I saw a guy at the Cardinals game who was obviously a professional photographer. He was down by the dugout, older guy with a big, you know, 4-foot-long camera. And I'm thinking, how's this a job? How is this a job in 2024? When everything we do is documented and there were 50,000 pictures taken at that... Who's paying a photographer for a picture?
Well, if it's a, I mean, for a publication, they're not going to want to use, although some newspapers tried to do this a long time ago by saving money, just having reporters with their cell phones. Yeah. And you could tell the difference between a front page professionally done photo and some guy with his iPhone.
I guess that's very it, since there aren't newspapers and magazines anymore. And everyone takes a picture. It just seems so anachronistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes I give
myself the 133 DGS on KMOX. Wheeler is visiting his daughter, North Carolina, so he'll be out for the week. Saw something interesting over the weekend. I like Bill Maher. I find him to be very, very brave and reasonable. He used to be a far left guy. He says he hasn't moved. I believe him because I haven't moved. I don't think I've moved. And the political parties have kind of orbited, moved around me. But he, I watched his show, which I don't do that often, but I watched it this weekend. And he was talking about the place kicker for the Chiefs and what he said at the Benedictine commencement and about... And bottom line is, he said, I don't have a problem. He said, I'm completely different than this guy. This is Bill Maher speaking right now. He said, I don't believe in marriage. I don't like kids. I've touched a baby once in my life during a skit on SNL or something like that. Like, I am not this guy. Yeah. If you want to stay home and be a mom, that's great. You want to go out and be a brain surgeon, that's great too. But this guy is just advocating for his way of life, which was the way of life for most of the time that we've been here. I found that really interesting. And then I see that his sale of his jersey has gone up by 5,000%, something like that. And then a friend of mine who's very conservative was making the argument that it hasn't been all that long ago, like the 70s or 80s. You don't have to go back to the 50s when this would have been absolutely nothing to see here. In fact, people would have thought that's a really obvious message to give. Why are you giving that message?
Mm-hmm.
And it made me wonder, I get into philosophic things like this, that progressives obviously want to progress. Conservatives want to go slow. Hey, let's slow the roll on this. We're going too fast. Things are changing too quickly. But is something more correct simply because it's newer?
No, not simply because it's newer. And I don't, I think that way a lot with, I try really hard not to be the old guy, but there are, when it comes to entertainment, things that younger people think is good.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it sucks. And then I wonder, okay, am I just out of touch, or is it really bad and is it worse than it used to be? So newer isn't necessarily better when it comes to that kind of thing.
Can I stop you there, though?
Because
you're making a point that just rang true with me. Young people have a superpower. Like a 20-year-old has a superpower of looking at a 59-year-old and going, oh my God, you are so completely, you know what I mean?
Right.
We don't have that superpower. When you're older, it's assumed you're out of it. And when you're younger, it's assumed that you have discovered something better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think that's just, everybody sort of accepts that that's correct. And I don't think that it is. There are times where it's definitely true, but things like that, I don't think it is. My problem with what he said, and I can't really go beyond the argument I made when we talked about it last week, is that it's fine if that's how he feels things should be. Okay, that's fine. But to tell a group of people, many of which are women, that, hey, you can go and have this career, but your life is going to be nothing until you're a stay-at-home mom. I can't get past that. Like, if you think that's better, that's just, we should all be doing it that way. Okay, fine, that's what you believe. But to tell these women that no matter what they do with this degree they've just gotten, it will never be as good as being a stay-at-home mom. That's absurd.
Which, and I will say, like I said, as someone, you know, pretty traditional and who wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, this is my backup plan because I didn't get my A goal. It's if he was going to, you know, voice that sentiment, I mean, yes, he did it at a private university. They asked him. It's a religious university. I don't know how conservative they are or not, but it's very, very traditional. But it rubbed me the wrong way. One, because he singled out the women, right? And women who just got degrees, presumably for careers, and said basically, and best for all the women out here, nothing will fulfill you like being a wife and a mom. Okay, let's stop right there. Let's say the most special thing is your kids. Sure, I would hope that's true for the fathers too. There was no reason to single out the women. So that may seem odd, but then he follows it up with what my wife now leans into her vocation. And I've been around, you know, people who talk like that before who really do feel that women should be kind of the barefoot and pregnant.
Is it kind of code language?
It felt like it, yeah. And listen, that's like you said, if that's what he believes, it kind of rubbed me the wrong way as someone who probably, you know, is considered very, you know, conservative and Christian. It rubbed me the wrong way because it was kind of condescending.
You know who else it rubbed the wrong way? Bill Maher had no problem with it. The sisters of the Benedictine did.
Yeah.
Right.
The sisters behind the university said, I don't know if you have the details, Rach, but basically like what he said was inappropriate.
And I know people don't want to talk theology on the radio, and I get that, but like the Proverbs 31 woman, she has a business. She has a vineyard. She goes out and makes money, and it has a businesswoman and makes her husband proud. So it's like to say that a woman should be quiet behind the scenes.
Isn't completely biblical.
That's not even biblical. I will point out, because I had to say, but Harrison Butker is not the NFL's biggest problem because Tyreek Hill welcomed his first child with his wife. Congratulations. It's his 11th child and his fourth child this year. So if one of the two is disrespecting women, it's not Harrison Butker.
Interesting. That's interesting. Yet he's probably, other than privately, I wonder if anyone could really go at him publicly and if people would be like, oh, yeah, this is crazy, or if it's simply his lifestyle choice.
Yeah, but I would say, couldn't you make an argument that having four kids in 1 year, fathering sure. four kids in 1 year. So
but he's not. He's
women.
Also not advocating that's what men should do either.
No, he doesn't have that.
He is not on camera saying this is what you should do: impregnate as many people as possible, and then move on
it's
to the
just
next
his
one.
Choice.
It's just what he did personally. What Harrison Butker did is took a platform and told these women that's what they should be doing with their lives.
And I get it, right? And I said it rubbed me the wrong way. I think it's important to note though. The platform, he didn't do it like at an NFL press conference. Yeah. He did do it at a very specific religious platform. Yeah. And I don't know, like I said, it sounds like it rubbed them the wrong way too, but.
Different topic completely, but a little bit of connection. I'm pretty well documented of not being a fan of Donald Trump, although I voted for him 2016, but he lost me along the way. But here's what it is. And I think a lot of people will understand this. I have some concerns that things could go January 6th wrong if he's reelected. Mm-hmm. But I trust the system. I trust everyone else around him to keep him between the rails. What it is I'm tired of him being this big of a part of my life. I'm tired of seeing his face. I'm tired of hearing his voice. I'm tired of having to have an opinion on him. And I know he's no George Washington, but you wonder if people along the way have been like, Lincoln, 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 I'm so tired of hearing about this guy and his beard, you know? Mm-hmm. If this is just another version.
Certainly in the South they were. they did not like him.
It's different, though, because Obama was a really big deal and had a very, very big personal following, you know, beyond political. And even that was different because Obama wasn't the chaos that Trump is. So we talked about Obama a lot, but not in the same way and not with the
you
same
could avoid
chaos.
Him.
You absolutely could. You could live a normal
life.
He wasn't a grievance guy.
Well, and he also didn't sell digital trading cards of himself and
right.
Bible. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't constantly trying to get right. in the news for this
yeah.
kind of
And he wasn't being
stuff.
Indicted like for
and
all
that
of
is,
exactly. sketchy
and
stuff.
And that is probably as much as anything else why Donald Trump is a constant topic of discussion at all times. And that is that he wants to be and has gone very far out of his way to make sure that that is the case. You know what I mean? Like, there's never been a time, even in the last, you know, 3 or whatever years that he hasn't been president, there was never a time that he was out of the public eye, and that was
he was laying low.
Yeah, he was never like, I'm just going to lean back, enjoy my retirement.
Boy,
like, he was always wanted to be right in the middle.
Talk about the true partnership has not been between Fox News and Trump. The partnership has been between the mainstream media and Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot get enough Trump. I mean, CNN, it's ridiculous. And of course, they think they're hurting him. You know, because Jake Tapper doesn't like him or whatever it is and make a snide comment, but they are giving him more coverage than anyone. They absolutely give him more coverage than Fox.
But not to be too cynical, but I don't know if they want to hurt him. I mean, at least not too bad. I don't know if they
want to lose him.
We've done, I think, good, responsible coverage of the Trump trial, and that we have discussed it. We, you know, once a day, once every couple of days while it's been going on, keeping everybody apprised of what's going on. CNN has done nothing but for like 3 weeks now.
I think it's, to me, I think that they have, and maybe not as much as they used to. This is a very different situation because it's the first time in history that a former president has gone through this kind of trial. I think that they tend to default to the sensational. If they think that this trial is the most sensational thing happening, they're going to go wall to wall with it. I don't know if it's about trying to damage him.
No, well,
or help him. They certainly are trying to help him.
And I will say, like, it's a detriment to them that they cover the hush money trial as much as they do. Partly because, I mean, it's a slow process. But also, outside of that, I think CNN does some of the finest journalistic work out there. When, you know, whether it's covering the Middle East or looking at their specials that they do, like you look at gender violence or some new things were discovered about the Holocaust and really digging deep. I think CNN, Clarissa Ward, is on the ground. They have really good journalists. I think Anderson Cooper does a good job as far as, you know, hosting a show. But the Trump stuff gets fatiguing, and it probably paints them in a little bit worse light than they should be, because I think they do a lot of really good journalistic work.
If Trump loses, even if he throws a fit at the beginning, 3 years from now, is he 80% gone? Or do you think that he's just as strong?
Well, does age come into play?
Let's say no. He doesn't go away on purpose. He continues trying to be a part of it.
I think if it's close at all, I think it could be bad.
I really don't know what to think. And I don't know what to think about your original question of if he does get reelected, if the safeguards that we have in place in a democracy, if they will hold the line if something goes wrong, like January 6th or whatever. And I question if he has the ability to install people that are like-minded to him, can he do enough to break down the safeguards? And I think that's a legitimate question. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know if all of this talk about it's the end of democracy is really hyperbole or if there's something to it. I wish I knew the answer to it, but I don't.
I don't wish for this, but if I were not an earthling and I was watching this, I would find it fascinating. Let's see how far America can bend without breaking. It's a fascinating question because the way we set it up in the constitutional republic and the relative calm that we've had during really trying times. And now I would say that whether Trump wins or loses, this is as close as we've been to testing the outer parameters.
Mm.
We're really shoving on it to see if the building can stand or
do
collapse.
Do you think most people realize that or think that?
No, I think that every human out there is a self-contained little narcissistic bag, and that we tend to just default that what I'm going through, people are going through, what I'm thinking, people are thinking, what I'm experiencing is what people are experiencing. The fact that we're in this weird bubble of talk radio, I think that we think that everyone knows what we know and looks at what we look at, and I just don't think they do. And good for them, you know? I mean, prior to this, I would have preached that people should be politically engaged and you should know this, and you should know that. But I don't know. There may be something about being casually engaged that's even better. 123 DGS. Pretty stacked show today. Coming up at 2, we have Dr. Melvin Vopsum, who thinks he has solved the Are We in a Simulation problem. Chet Pleben's going to join us with a big day at the Trump trial. 3 o'clock, Tommy Ackerman's going to be with us to talk Cardinals. Let's talk some Cardinals now with these guys. Ronj, I'll start with you. Do you feel real hope, or do you feel like that moment right before the roller coaster goes down?
Probably closer to that than I am actual hope. Let's see what happens here. Yeah, so they've played well over the last week. They played better over the last week, but you've got Baltimore tonight. That team's really good. The Cubs are a pretty good team coming up. You might know a little bit more after this next 6 that they have, the 3 tonight, or starting tonight, and then the 3 over the weekend. You'll probably have a better idea of if anything we've seen lately is real, or if it was just, hey, they played some teams that were not that good.
I know how you feel. It's when you're sick and you're like throwing up and you don't stop throwing up. And then finally you stop throwing up for a little bit and you think,
this is it?
Am I done?
I'm good.
And then like, oh no. And then you get sick again.
Is that what's going to happen?
You're in between throw ups right now. Yeah.
I mean, they're hitting a little bit better, which is good.
I don't wish them ill. And I hope people understand what I'm about to say. I just wish they'd go one way or the other. I hope they don't end up the season 10 out. Be 18 out or be 3 out, but the in-between just means it all stays the same.
That's, I think if they're a little under 500 by the end of the year, I'm not entirely convinced that everything stays the same. I think they have to do something then.
Let me ask you about this. The Royals are good. They're 10 games over 500. They weren't necessarily supposed to be good. They got that new pitcher, Lugo. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. He has never been that great, like 2.8 ERA over a few games. He's 7-1, a 1.85 ERA, something like that. Is that what the Cardinals were hoping? Like, if everything goes right, we could be 10 games over 500 right now? Because the Royals weren't supposed to be great.
Yeah, it seems to me the way they've operated over the last several years is just kind of be good enough to be competitive in the division, win the division, and then you can see what happens
in
the playoffs.
Playoff magic.
Yeah, I don't, and they're right, that can happen. Anything can happen. I just like removing as much doubt as possible so that when you get there, you're in a better situation. I don't know. I feel like some major changes probably should be coming here. I don't know what they'll do. They tend to play it relatively safe, so it'll be interesting to see how they treat these next several months.
We pull some plays and make it look like we don't understand fundamentals. Did you see that one fiasco? I can't even describe it. Just like we threw the ball 5 times and no one caught it. And 2 guys scored. Like, you wouldn't, if Wheeler's team did that, you'd be complaining.
Well, yeah. There's also more recourse for that, too, because they're amateurs and you can tell them what to do. But when it's professionals, I know this sounds weird, but it's a lot tougher, I think, to you know, to be a coach and to say, hey, get your act together, you jerks.
Hit your cutoff, man.
It's a little bit more different. Like, yeah, we get it. We make money. We know.